Let's stand and turn to Matthew 21, verse 1, and stand in honor of reading God's Word. And the Word says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming into you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The multitude who went before those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And again, Lord, we praise you. We honor you, Lord God. We come into your house this morning, Father, to lift up your name. And God, we thank you for what this week that we're beginning, Lord, what it holds for us, Lord God, as Christians, Lord God, in this holy time of the year, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that we might all focus on you every day this week, Lord God, as we should do every week. But, Lord, let us pay special attention to you and what you have went through for us on that cross at Calvary. Father, I pray and thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray again for those that are sick, Lord God, for those who have lost loved ones. Lord, I just want to lift you up this morning, Lord God. And Father, use me, Lord God, as I answer your call to preach your gospel, Lord God. Use me as a mouthpiece to your people, Lord God, not for my glory, God, but for yours. And Father, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen. I'm going to do some reading this morning. I usually don't do a lot of reading. I usually don't even use notes, so I've been studying a lot in the New Testament, and I was sent a book that I get every month from Dr. Robert Jeffries and First Baptist in it's in Dallas. It's on Easter, and I knew some of the things that he said, but I just wondered if a lot of us recognize, so I'm going to kind of tie that in with the scripture today. And I got to thinking that on Easter Sunday, next Sunday, Christians all over this world will gather together to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wonder if we realize what we're gathering for and how grateful we should be as Christian people. I was thinking last night and reading, some of the brothers out here that I got home yesterday from prayer breakfast at 2 o'clock, and there was on the History Channel, which I don't really watch a lot because they become so negative about a lot of things. But they had a story on about the life of Jesus, and it was narrated by several seminary professors and doctors. It went off at 11 o'clock last night, and I watched every bit of it. And there was a lot of stuff that I picked up that I hadn't picked up before. And then I got this book, Dr. Robert Jeffries, and it just spreads more light on the miracle of Jesus Christ and our mind can't even comprehend what he went through that week. Before the triumphal entry, you know, he had went into Jerusalem, and Jesus had scolded the money changers. He had healed a blind man. And he had made Lazarus out of the grave. And the Romans, when that happened, both the Jews and the Romans wanted to, they sought out to kill him. And in that case, but when he went through the temple and scattered the money of the money changers, they were fixing to throw him off a cliff, and he escaped and got away, and he stayed there until this day. And I want to talk to you about it. And you know, I read a verse while in verse 2, it says, Jesus said to them, "Go into the village opposite, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a coat where her, loose her and bring her to me." And so the disciples went on and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the coat and laid their coats on them. And he said on them, most of them spread their cloaks in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowd going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And so triumphal entry begins. And this on the calendar actually starts tomorrow, Monday, which in Jesus' day was March the 30th. And according to the Jewish calendar, Nisan, it 30. That's when all this happened. And Jesus goes in, and what I want you, we talk about the reason that Jesus went in is because he was going to declare himself the King of the Jews. And he went into this town on the Passover. Now, everybody knows what the Passover is. You know, the Passover is when Moses freed the children of Israel out of Egypt. There was a Passover, and, you know, the last plague that the Lord put on the nation of Egypt was that the Jewish people put blood over the doorpost, and if they had the blood over the doorpost when that plague came, which was to kill the firstborn son of every family, including Pharaoh's, well, that blood had to be on the post. And if that blood wasn't on the post, the angel of death came in and killed the babies. And the same thing had happened earlier in Jesus' life. They had to escape Bethlehem and Judea because Herod the Great had issued a warrant to kill all the babies. And so this is all coming to a head. And the reason being is because Jesus Christ, the reason they call it a triumphal entry, it's because Jesus came into town on the day of the Passover to the week of the Passover in order to give his life for you and I. I want to read something to you that startled me last night, and I saw it on this TV show, and then I opened this book and I looked at it. We talk about the Passover. Everybody brings a lamb to the Passover. And we think about sometimes how... Well, I'm going to read this to you. The Bible says, we'll get started out here in a minute. The Bible says in verse 8, "And a very great multitude spread their cloaks," spread their clothes, tree branches. And we've talked about it when we were going through the Old Testament. I talked about it Old Testament history classes in school. But anyway, we think there was a crowd, and the Bible says a great multitude. Well, there's this Jewish theologian that done a count of what it should have been, how he got his numbers, I don't know, but he's a Jew. We think about this road, and if you've been to Israel, the Mount of Olives, you go down the Mount of Olives, and you come back up this hill and go into the Eastern Gate. And along that road, there was people with their cloaks on the road, with branches in the road, hollering that Jesus was the triumphal entry, that he was the Messiah, that he was the great. This theologian said that there was in the neighborhood 2.6 million people. Can you imagine? We talk about the blood sacrifices. The lambs that were slaughtered estimated 256,000 lambs. And the reason that Christ Jesus came into our life, came into Jerusalem that day, was to be the, he made himself the sacrifice of all. And his disciples were going in with him thinking that this was it, that they were going to inaugurate a king on that day and he was going to become the king of the Jews. He had told them that he was going to be killed, that he'd rise again on the third day, but they somehow couldn't comprehend it. I said the other day in one of my morning devotionals that, you know, do we celebrate the baby in the manger more than we do Jesus on the cross and the resurrection and Easter? Both holidays are important. But I just think about the masses of people that were in that town. And Jesus, can you imagine 256,000 in one temple? How long? That's 3 days lasted a week. Can you imagine? We talk about the blood. How much blood was flowing. They had to do that every year to cleanse them of their sins. What I want you to see this morning is Jesus Christ came to do away, spare the lives of not only them lambs that were sacrificed, but to spare you and our life with the blood, with his precious blood. He went to that cross and he was headed to that cross to die for you and I. And so many of us, sometimes, you know, we get to talking and we don't realize exactly what went on. Exactly that. You know, we think, I've mentioned it 1,000 times, but we think Jesus, the King of Kings, we think he's the King. We see this statue of him right here, and he's all clean, and he got his robe on and all this. Well, you know, a lot of these, a lot of these movies that they're making nowadays, they make it realistic. Can you realize just how tough and just how hard that, I mean, he walked in the desert where there was nothing. He didn't have an air conditioner. He didn't have a suit of clothes. He didn't even have a pair of blue jeans. He had a robe and a sandal. And they were showing him last night how his fingernails were dirty. He was a natural man. He went to that cross to shed his blood for you and I. And so these disciples went and untied that donkey. And I'm going to read something out. It says, on Thursday, Jesus and his disciples celebrated Passover. Jerusalem was crowded. So the disciples asked Jesus, where do you want to go and prepare for us to eat? It is customary for the people to rent out their extra rooms for Passover. So Jesus gave the disciples this instruction. When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that enters, and that's in John, tells us they found everything just as he had told them. In other words, he told them to go into the gate. There's a man with a pitcher of water. Tell him you want to borrow his donkey, and he will take you where you're supposed to go. Think about that donkey. I'm just picking out a little thing. Think about what Jesus went through. This is a new foal, a donkey. Jesus had already done many, many miracles. Raised Lazarus, the man, the blind man, all the cripple, all the things that happened. Think about just a simple little task. He told him, go get this donkey. This man's going to have his water, and he'll be the guy. Get the donkey, tell him that I want to use him, and he'll take him. You ever think about that donkey? In our world, think about this weekend. In our world, I hadn't watched one game. But in our world, they're having a big, the Final Four, the college basketball championship in Houston. Think about the Super Bowl. Think about when the King of England comes to the United States, when our president goes somewhere. What people look for, a big show, for a lot of beautiful things. They look for emeralds and gold. And here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the man that gave his life for you and I on that cross at Calvary, riding a donkey. And that donkey was a foal. I don't know if any of y'all have got on a young horse or a donkey. That was a miracle in itself, but he sat on that donkey, and that donkey went through that crowd of people. Had to be Jesus to do that. So Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and as I have already said, He was our King and our Savior, and He went there for us. He didn't have to, but He went there for us. Think about it. Think about all that Jesus went through, and it's prophesied in the Old Testament. I talked about that number a while ago, that Jewish month of Nisan and 30. If you go to Exodus 12, verse 3, it's talking about the Passover, and it says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man will take himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Jesus went that you and I would be saved. And it was prophesied all out through the Old Testament. Some in Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout in the trumpet, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just. He was salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey, even on a colt." That's the reason I brought that out. We don't think of it. And the Bible tells us even on a colt, and the 2.6 million people, the Bible tells us a great multitude of people. We think that's an astonishing number. But Jesus was God. In Daniel 9:25, it says, "The angel Gabriel gave Daniel a vision of Israel's future. So you are to know and discern that from the issue of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, then will be 60 weeks and 62 weeks, 483 years. Daniel's vision referred to the day Jesus was presented to Israel as Prince and Messiah." Jesus Christ came to save our soul. Jesus Christ went through all that He went through for you and I. And back to the scripture says Jesus called the boys together, I always call them, and He tells them to go in and get that donkey. They go in and get that donkey. And then comes they all meet in the upper room after this. And Jesus knows that He knows everything He's fixing to go through. From the garden, He went to the upper room, then He went to the garden, then He was arrested. But from that upper room, He sat there with the disciples. And those disciples, I've already said, were thinking we're having a great celebration. We're eating with the Lord, and then we're going to go into town, and we're going to inaugurate a king. But Jesus was going to do just the opposite. Jesus was going in to give Himself as a sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. And that's what I'm trying to get across this morning, that sacrificial lamb. And as He is sitting around that table, the Bible says that He reclined on the table and He looked at them, and He told them that all these things are going to happen, and at that point they become nervous, scared, trying to figure out what He's talking about. And Jesus tells them, and He dips His bread, and we're going to take communion a little bit, in olive oil and herbs. And He says, "The one that eats this bread is the one who deceives me." He knows, even from the day Jesus Christ was born to the day that He left this earth, He was wanted. He was wanted to be killed by everybody. It is a miracle in itself of God that Jesus Christ, every detail in this Bible has been fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, that He is the Lord of Lords, and that He is going to come back. We talk about Easter, we talk about Christmas, we see all of these things. He told His disciples right here. He said, "We're going to take this, we're going to eat it. I am going to die, and I'm going to rise again in 3 days. And it happened just as he said it was going to happen, to the very ever I was dotted and every T was crossed. Jesus Christ gave his life that we could have life, and he told them disciples. And what am I getting at? He said, I'm going to be hung on the cross. He said, I'm going to be brutally beaten. He was. He said, I am going to rise again on the third day, and the third day we'll talk about next week. Mary Magdalene runs to the grave, and he's gone. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, the Great Commission? Jesus is talking to his disciples, the same disciples, and those disciples tell his word to us, to generation, generation, generation. This has been said. I'm going to return again, he said. Remember the disciples are standing there? I think it's in John where they're looking into the sky because Jesus ascended. He told them before he leaves, he said, go into all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he tells them when he eats the last meal with them, he said, we won't do this again till that day in heaven. And those guys are standing there looking. And it took an angel to come up to them and say, hey, what you men of Galilee, what are y'all doing? Go do what he said do. You know, the only thing that is not complete, his return. He died on the cross. He forgave us of our sin. He was brutally beaten. He was nailed to that cross. He was put in that tomb. He arose on that third day. And he said, I'm coming back. I love John 14 because John 14 tells just the way it is. John 14, 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in the Father, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return again and receive you unto myself, because where I go, there you will be also. That's what we got to do, people. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate. The battle has ended. It is over. Jesus has won. He died on the cross. He sacrificed his life, his lifeblood, that you and I could live throughout eternity. And after all of this has happened, all the things that happened, everything that Jesus done in his lifetime on this earth, and everything that is to come is going to come, but we still don't believe it. We don't believe it. We say we believe it. Do we trust it? Do we trust him? Do we believe that he is really going to come? Do we believe that? Sometimes I wonder how, because time and time and time and time again, I go through the same things, and I can say that this morning because my wife says, she said, don't tell them everything you do all the time. But I want you to know that people, you know, do you really believe this? Are you in the house of the Lord to worship him? The Bible says he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. The people came into his house that he was walking up that street, up that hill, come down. It's a long hill from the Mount of Olives to the bottom of it, and then back up to that gate. It's a long way. And thousands of people, a multitude of people, were on their knees, throwing their coats on the ground, and the palm leaves, and Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was entering. But let me tell you something. He went up that hill, dirty, ragged. He went to that cross bleeding, beaten. The flesh was hanging from his back. His heart was still beating and just beating because the scholars say, and I told you, the guy that ordained me, Brother Frank Welch, Dr. Frank Welch, was a cardiologist, and he was a doctor in religious education too. And he told us, that it was all possible for Jesus to to be at the point of death, and that they beat him so hard with that cat of nine tails, there's rocks and bones and hooks in that, and he took that lashing for you and I. Do you realize what he went through for us? Don't that make you want to rejoice that somebody loved you that much? He was tied to that post, and at any time he could have called 10,000 angels to free him. But he didn't. Because, you know why? Because he loved you. Because he loves me. He gave his life. He went to that Lord's Supper. He knew. Think about the garden. Well, man, I talked about that last year, but I'm just kind of trying to cover all the bases this morning. Think about him in the garden. He was in the corner. He told his disciples. His disciples, I think the reason he called his disciples was to preach the gospel and tell people about him. And his disciples, the wonderful thing about it, they're just normal people. They're just people. Because he goes in the corner and he says, y'all pray. I'm going to go up here and pray a while. He comes back. They're doing just like me and you are right now. They're asleep. He said, go pray. And so he said, I'm going to go pray. Y'all pray. He goes. Three times that happened. And the disciples were still asleep. You know what God did, don't you? God said, at that point, drops of blood was coming from his face. That's how bad he was. He was so stressed out. And the same guy that I tell you, Dr. Welch told us, it can happen. People can be so stressed out. He was stressed over the sin and everything that was going on, that great drops of blood, and his father sent an angel to comfort him because the people that had walked with him wasn't doing it. You see, they should have been there praying that God would help his son in this last hour, but they wasn't. This world today is kind of like it was then. Except this time, that dirty, you say, don't talk about my Savior life, that dirty, ragged, king, Jew boy, Jewish man, on a donkey, and people were bowing and hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna. One day, before long, he's going to come back, and the next time he comes, there won't be an old rugged cross. The next time he comes, there won't be a Lord's Supper. There's going to be a supper, but it's going to be a great and wonderful supper. The next time he comes, he won't have to die for you and me because he already has. And the next time he comes, he's going to be dressed as a king. He is going to be pure and perfect because on that day he presented himself. Those people brought those lambs to be slaughtered, 256,000. They brought those lambs to be slaughtered, and they were the perfect, had to be perfect. And in order for me and you to enter the gates of heaven, there had to be one that was perfect because none of us are perfect and never will be perfect, only in God. There had to be one perfect. So Jesus took our place on that cross. He died on that cross for you and I. He took it all for you and I. What are we doing for him this morning? What are we doing? Are we looking forward to this week? Are you looking forward to getting up in the morning and praying at night and thanking Jesus every day for everything that he went through for you and I? Or are we just thinking about the family coming in, dinner next Sunday? You know, I say that. I've said for the last 2 weeks, if your family comes, bring them to church. I really mean that. There's nothing that you're going to miss in 2 hours in the morning. One of your family members that's not saved might catch a hold of something and be saved. Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross at Calvary so that you and I will one day be with him. He said, again, I like that Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice. Rejoice greatly. O daughters of Zion, shout. We don't have no shouting in churches no more. Shout. Praise God. O Jerusalem, O people of Jesus, behold, your king is coming. He is just. And he is endowed with salvation. His salvation. And he comes, Zechariah forecasted, predicted, humble and mounted on a donkey. Even a colt. The foal of a donkey. The King of Kings. But that song keeps coming to my head. The next time he comes, there won't be an old rugged cross. The next time he comes, he's coming for you and me. The next time he comes, he won't have to be beat. He won't die no more. The next time he comes, all the filthiness and the things that's going on in this world that we live in, the horrible things, we talked about it yesterday in the men's prayer break, the things that's going on, they're going to get theirs, my daddy used to say. They're going to get theirs. He says in Revelation 21:22, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Man, Brother Tommy was talking before church. We talk about a perfect world. We talk about perfect. We got to be, I've told y'all that I thought my daddy preached, my uncles preached, my cousins preached. I was born among a bunch of preachers. And I, when I was a teenager, when I got to be about 18, I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. There's no way that I can live the way that they're preaching it to me. Because I'm not perfect and I never will be perfect. But Jesus said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means everybody. We may not like the drunk under the bridge. We might like, not, I used to say the hobo, we used to have hobos. We might not like the hobo looking people that we see. We might not like the way somebody comes to church. We might not like the way somebody talks, but the only thing that counts is if they believe. He said, whoever believes. And he says right here, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Some people throw the Old Testament out. He says, keep the prophecy of this book. And Jesus is coming. The triumphal entry that we talked about this morning is mentioned many, many times in the Old Testament. I wrote a deal this morning. I can't even think my numbers of it. There was almost 2,800 and something, if I have my telephone, 2,800 and something times that the second coming is mentioned in the Bible. It don't say just second coming, but he says he's coming back. Jesus used it 28 times himself. Jesus is coming back, and he said, behold, I come quickly. And he says in verse 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In verse 20 says, read 19. And if anyone takes away from these words of this book and prophesies, God shall take away his part in this book of life. For the holy city and from things which are written in this book, I come quickly, behold, testify to these things. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even to come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know what Jesus is saying? There is not one There, if you want to know the answer to life, is right here. Not one word that he said in this book is wrong, and not one word that I have feebly tried to say this morning that I have said from this book is wrong. Jesus said, I am coming. I am the bright morning star. I am the offspring of David. I am coming, and I am going to return. I love John 14 again. You know, he was sitting there and he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'm going to come again. He said, in my Father's house in many mansions. Doubting Thomas, like us, like the disciples were today, that Jesus was trying to tell them what was happening to the Lord's Supper, that was the last meal that he had eaten with them until he'd come again, and he ordered them to do this until he returned again. But, you see, Jesus looked at Thomas, and he was looking at old Thomas. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about you going somewhere and you're going to build us a house, you're going to come back and go, what are you talking about? And Jesus looked directly at him and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Our salvation, our life, our children's life, our grandchildren's life, every sinner that's lost in this world's life hinges on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he died on that cross, that he arose from that grave, and that he is coming again. And if you believe that, God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. And woe be unto these people. The last verse that I read, the Lord wants me to say it. And if anyone takes away from the word of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book. People, there's so many people are teaching false prophecy. There's so many people prophesying. There's so many people talking about this is going to happen. There's so many preachers and philosophers and teachers that standing behind a pulpit this morning teaching something that they have come up with. We don't need to come up with nothing but that. In the Old Testament, you know, the Jewish people, they go into the Jewish temple and they pull down a scroll and they read from God's Word. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is real. And people, if you do not believe that he is coming, just look at Matthew, Timothy, Daniel, Isaiah, any of the books of prophecy. Look at them and look at your newspaper. Turn on your news and that, because Jesus is coming. And he's coming back. I use this at Sister's funeral today. He's coming back. Not for Catholic, not for Assembly of God, not for Pentecostal, not for Baptist, not for Presbyterian, not for Methodist. He's not coming back. He ain't looking for none of that. I just read it. He's looking for those that keep his word, that keeps his prophecy. And that's who he's coming back after. And that name tag is going to blow off going up or burn off going down. That's the way it is. That's what's going to happen on the name tag. So don't think that you're high and mighty because you're a Baptist or you're a Pentecostal or you're a Catholic. God's coming back for his people. God is coming back for the people that believe in him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning. And Lord, as we have this time of invitation, I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody, Lord God, that doesn't know you, Lord, if they come forward, Lord God, and get on their knees and ask you into their life, Lord God, and just by simply saying, Jesus, I messed it up. I want to trust you. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose again. I believe that you're coming back to get us. And Father, I want to live the rest of my life the best that I can for you. And help them to realize, Lord, that they'll never be fit without you. And we can only do it through you. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this week, for everything that you have given us. All the blessings. Your word that you've given us this morning. And God, I praise you and honor you. And I pray that if there's one here, that Sister Ruth plays the song, God, that they would come forward, Lord God, and accept you as their Lord and Savior. And we'll give this in your name. Amen.